All right, welcome to part two of Building the Best Coach Tournament Bracket. You're going to enjoy this. I think we might have a sleeper that wins, but hopefully we convince you to prioritize different things in your coaching journey. This is the Building the Best Coach Tournament Bracket. Let's dive in. The 2025 Building the Best Coach National Tournament Bracket is beginning with an early morning game in the Southwest region of Phoenix, Arizona. We got practice planning versus shooting coach. What's the final score?
The final score is 77 to 71.
Oh, yeah, that's a good score. Practice planning wins.
All right. It's a good game, though.
It was a good game. The underdogs shot the lights out. That's for sure.
That's right. The four seed shot the ball really, really well, but the practice planning team just made free throws down the stretch.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, I'm going to go. Should I go up here, high standards, yeah, engaging the community? I'm going to go engage. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go high standards. This one's an obvious one, although you already said all the important stuff, how important engaging the community was. But high standards wins in a they pull away late and win by 20.
Yeah, that's about right. All right, which one am I doing?
Let's go bottom communication versus scouting game planning.
Gosh, you know, the scout and the game plan was on point. Perfect plan. Actually had the secret for how to beat communication. Unfortunately, head coach couldn't communicate the plan, and so they lost in a blowout.
Hey, honestly, like that is so true. Yeah. How many coaches have it up here but can't get their team to do it?
Most. That is the barrier for most coaches.
100%.
That's why it's the number one seed.
Oh no, that leaves me with system design versus rebounding. I quit. See y'all next week.
Hear what you say here.
This one's gonna be tough. I'm gonna cheat a little bit here. And
I know what you're gonna say.
Okay. Then I'll just say it. I'm gonna say rebounding is a system.
Yes.
And I think if you're the expert system designer, you leave no stone left unturned.
Agreed.
One system complements another, because think about this. There's four phases of the game. There's half court offense, transition defense, half court defense, transition offense. Your team is always in one of those phases of the game. Like, there's no getting around that. But sometimes your team is like right in between, or you could argue in two phases of the game at the same time. Yeah. When I shoot, we are in transition defense and offensive rebounding, right? That we haven't lost the possession yet. So I'll go system design. Feel free to push back.
No pushback. And that's really common even in bracket play between a one seed and a four seed. The difference between a one seed and a four seed is the one seed is good at multiple things, and usually a four seed is really good at one thing. And so that's just the epitome of what the difference is between, you know, a better team and a worse team, is how many things are you good at?
Yeah, and I would also argue from a personnel standpoint too, the four seed is going to have one or two good players, and then a big drop off. The one seed is going to be just well rounded across the board. So design all your systems. You can't look at the game in silos of like, oh, we have our defensive system over here, we have our offensive rebound system over here, and vice versa. Like, it's a cycle of the game. They all mesh together. That is why we have our savvy systems in the classroom.
Yep.
All right, let's go 2 versus 3 seed. I'll go back to back here since you did practice planning up here, top left. Staff.
I hope we disagree. We haven't disagreed yet.
I don't know if we're going to disagree on this one, unless you just want to disagree. I'm going to go player development. I'm going to go player development. I think they're equally important. I would just say the players actually have to do it on the court, and there's more players in your program than staff, so you're impacting more people that way.
How can you develop, Mark, 12 to 15 players alone?
You hire the 4 seed shooting coach that got bounced out early, and you don't do it alone. Now, so are we arguing?
I think we are. Let me just state my argument clearly. You can't do player development well if you don't have a staff. Player development is optimized in small groups, not with a whole team. And a head coach does not have enough time to do small group player development as well as run team practices. So that's why player development falls by the wayside in most programs that don't have the budget or the resources or the people. One of the most common questions we get in our community is, all right, well, how would you, I don't have assistant coaches. How would you do this alone? And the answer is you don't. You can't do it alone. I mean, you can do it somewhat in team practice by devoting the majority of your practice time to player development, which we do suggest. It's just not going to be done as well. So it's an argument. I don't think it changes the outcome of the game, but it's just let's recognize that.
You had me changing the outcome of the game, but because I was even to say the one seed in this bracket is practice planning, and you can do it as like you said, as best you can. Like your practice should be focused on practice on player development, whether you're coaching, teaching offense or defense, it's an application of your player skills.
Yeah.
Right. I could go either way here.
I would stick with player development. I mean, even just prioritizing it is uncommon and valuable.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to go recruiting versus roles.
All right. Let's just zoom out quickly. Is this bracket what actually is going to help you win more games? Or is this bracket determining what creates the best coach?
What creates the best coach?
Then I think there's a stronger argument for roles. If it's just to win a game, it's recruiting. Recruiting should be the number one seed and nothing else matters. If all we care about is winning games, you go get the best players and you will win the most games. None of this other crap matters. There are a handful of really successful Division I college coaches that are bad at most of these things, except for recruiting, and they keep getting bigger jobs and keep winning games. So let's just acknowledge that.
I will acknowledge that, but I will also say you can recruit all the talent in the world. And you can also screw that up too. A lot of coaches will say, oh, well, Phil Jackson had the best players but I've seen a lot of coaches screw it up with a lot of really good players too. And it's probably because they're not clearly defining roles. They're not communicating. They don't have high standards, whatever it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say roles wins then if we're creating the best coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because somebody on your staff could be that recruiter too. I mean, typically the head coach is the closer.
Yeah.
In those situations.
And the majority of coaches listening to this podcast, technically, I know you said the other aspects of recruiting, like program building, but I also think that's community engagement. They technically can't recruit as well. So I think that's another reason for this that I would devalue it a little bit.
Yeah. I've got relationships versus just an expert offensive tactician. I'm going to go relationships here. Out of all the coaches that I have spent time with, and this was actually a big transformation in my coaching, is I used to be a very transactional coach. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with the game of basketball because of the game of basketball first. It was just something I enjoyed. It was something I always did. And I loved being around the game. But what actually made me become a coach is I coached the same team 3 years in a row. And I just got so close to the parents and the players. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I'm doing this. Changing my major. I'm gonna do this. And even then, I still didn't understand how important relationships were. High energy versus in-game adjustments.
Do I get to pick?
That's you.
Okay. So high energy came out with high energy, and in-game adjustments kept trying to make adjustments because of the high energy, and there is no adjustment you can make to overcome high energy versus low energy. High energy wins in a blowout, maybe the biggest blowout of game one, round one. It was 72-24.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Goodness. Somebody was running lock left with a lot of energy. In fact, if you're making in-game adjustments, the first thing that I look at is, are we playing hard enough? Are we playing with high energy? Because nothing you do is going to work if you're not playing with high energy. So before you adjust anything, just are we playing to standard? If not, fix that before doing anything else. Oh, I am going to, you're up to go back to back here, mainly because I don't want to do this one. Okay. Practice planning versus player development.
Practice planning.
Okay. I thought that'd be more of a fight. I mean, I would have picked practice planning, but I think there's probably a debate for player development.
Yeah, but I mean, here's what ends the debate. You prioritize player development by your practice planning. So if you are a great practice planner, but you aren't elevating player development in your practice, then you might lose, right? So, but that's why player development is here. I mean, all of your practice is player development if you're doing it right. You know, so, I mean, I think that's where it's like a sub specialty. Now, how well you do player development within that, I think is important, but not as important as actually doing it. You can be a great player development coach, but if you don't prioritize it in your practice planning, you don't have enough time to actually make an impact. So that's where I would go on that one. But the quickest way to a better team is better players, and your most obvious and clear path to better players is player development, because you're not going to be able to recruit it at most situations.
Yeah. All right. I've got the semifinals here, actually the quarters of communication and roles. I'm going to go communication.
Yeah.
This one's pretty easy for me. I mean, think about this semifinal matchup. We got practice planning and communication. If you can plan a really good practice and then you're a really good communicator in and outside of that practice, man, that is tough to beat.
Yeah.
You mentioned some tips for communication, like speak in 7-second sound bites. So think bullet points, not sentences, just creating your own language and making that sticky. So we talked on our live training about a coach asked a question that his team was playing a little selfish. Ball was sticking a little bit. So I shared with him is like your values should be connected to language and your language should be connected to values. So how can we, like, of the things that we want to do? So we talk about, like, hey, good to great. That's something sticky. That's a buzz phrase that you can use to your team to say, hey, turn that like 5-ish into a 7, turn that 5-ish into a 9. We got to go good to great, or paint to great, where we're going to get paint touches and shrink the D before we shoot our 7s, all those things to be able to clearly communicate with your team. I'll give you one more on communication: rule of 3, 10, and 30. When you are setting up an activity, because you are an expert practice planner and you're communicating what the objective is in the activity that you're running, do not give your team more than 3 things, because outside of that, Tyler's going to check out. And don't go for more than 10 minutes. It just becomes stale. And then the 30 is get them going in 30 seconds or less, which is going to make you speak in those 7-second sound bites. And then you start to scaffold and layer the more in-depth teaching, your plus ones, after you've already started. Get them started into the game, the drill, and then actually develop the skill after they have a good understanding of actually the organization of what we're trying to do. So rule of 3, 10, 30.
Mark, is there ever a time to break or violate the rule of 3, 10, 30?
Maybe 30 seconds or less. I think that's the most challenging part, but I can't think of one offhand. Can you?
I just believe that there's exceptions to every rule.
Yeah.
So there must be.
I mean, I'm thinking slow learning. We're installing something for the first time. I think rule of 3, 10, 30 mostly applies to, like, we're setting something up that we've already done before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could see most exceptions, at least in my practices, violating the 10 rule. Because we might play something longer than 10 minutes.
But yes, agreed. But, like, if we're playing 5-on-5 to 5, like, that's a game.
We're debriefing within.
Yes.
Yeah. That's true. Mark, I'm just going to give one way you can become a better communicator: read more books. I have found that the quickest way to grow your influence in the world is read more books. And as I thought about that, I'm like, well, how does that actually relate? So yeah, you have more knowledge, but really I think you just become a better communicator, a more compelling communicator, as you master language and the use of language.
And tell stories. Which books are just mostly a collection of, usually just a lot of stories.
Yeah.
Okay. You have high standards.
I'm going to give a shout out here real quick.
Okay.
So Mark just shared this bracket with me via email. So I opened my email. Since the start of this podcast, 2 new savvy basketball coaches have joined. I'm just going to give you a welcome and shout out. Welcome, Misha, and welcome, Raheem. Two new basketball, savvy basketball coaches. Can't wait to start to work with you. Welcome to Savvy Coaching.
Welcome. I always tell, like, a lot of coaches are like, hey, I'm curious to dive into everything. I'm like, hey, like, share all the good things that you're doing too, because yeah, we learn just as much from our members as I'm sure they learn from us. Mm-hmm. All right. Are you ready for high standards or versus relationships?
Yes.
All right.
Am I picking?
It's on you.
Okay. Argue this one, because this was a close game. This is close game. You know, the cumulative effect of high standards over the course of a long season, one out, versus a team of players that loved each other and believed in their leader and cared for each other because they played so hard. But errors lost them the game down the stretch. As many games are lost and not won. And the high standard of ball security that was developed from day one ended up in a 63-60 win for high standards.
A barn burner. I actually think relationships were bailed out on a bad call, and they actually won this game, because I'm going to say, and this is just me pushing back.
Yeah, please.
I said earlier, deep care, high standards. I think those have to come in order. Like, if you just walked into a gym and started just holding people to ridiculously high standards and never budged on that, and you don't have the relationship, they don't trust you, they don't know where your heart comes from, I think you could get players that check out. I think it might fall flat, and I think it might come off as transactional. So I would say if you've invested in the relationship, you can hold people to extremely high standards. But if you haven't invested in the relationship and you try to do one without the other, or you try to go high standards without the relationship, I think it can go sideways.
All right. This is a strong argument, and it actually goes back to us. Like, what are we doing here? What are we building? We're building the best coach, maybe not just the one that's going to win games. So this is a great example of high standards versus relationships. So I have done clinics and worked with Mike Doliak. He played in the NBA. He played at Utah for Rick Majerus. And he told me some wild Rick Majerus stories, who I think basketball culture would nearly unanimously agree, great coach, successful coach, winning coach. And all of the stories that Mike told me was like, unbelievably and almost high standards, almost manic standards, like standards that caused the players consistently to grumble and complain, like, come on, like just crazy things that he would ask them to do. And those high standards led to really successful teams, winning teams. But these stories also showed a lack of care and relationship, very transactional. So I think that your point is well made through that one. There are numerous examples. You can win games with high standards and no relationship, right? But he didn't have the impact, the transformational impact in Mike's life. They didn't have ongoing depth and care, which at the end did probably limit the ceiling of what they could achieve as a team. And so, on a bad call, I could be convinced.
All right. Bad call, relationships, got it done.
That's right.
I love it. All right. So so far we have practice planning and communication in the semifinals. We've got relationships coming out of one region, and the last final four team is between system design and high energy. Gosh, these are getting
Looked up, and this is one of the longer hours pods we've done. We're approaching an hour. When we were discussing this, I don't think we thought that, I mean, this is really coaching. We're discussing what coaching is and what we should value and who we are, what our identity as a coach is going to hinge on.
Yeah. So it's funny. I mean, we said in the actions episode that the value is really in the conversation, and it definitely holds true here. But this is much more difficult for me to decide between these than it was the action.
Yes, agreed.
Oh gosh, I mean,
those listening, Mark is now deciding between system design and high personal energy.
Both of these are just so true to my heart. I'm gonna go system design just so you can push back on me.
Yeah, huge pushback. I mean, high energy for me is a sleeper to win the whole thing. Energy is life. So whatever it is that you set out to do, accomplish, build, and steward, it will only be as successful as the energy that you input into it, right? So you might have great system design, but if you don't have the energy to build it, teach it, develop it, research it, break down film for each and every one of your players, have the individual conversation, all of this requires personal energy. Just think about your players. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. You can be the most skilled player, but the moment you get tired, you suck. And the more conditioned player beats you, period. So I just feel like energy is everything. It's the input. So think about just a genius that has no energy. A basketball genius that has no energy. I don't see that team being successful.
That is exactly what I wanted out of picking system design. I knew you would have something really good to talk about high energy. So I was just teeing you up there. We're going high energy.
Thank you. Though I do think it was a close game. And I actually think it was a messy game because the high energy team just mucked up everything that the beautiful system was trying to do. It's like they came in through just black tar on the Mona Lisa. And the Mona Lisa didn't have the energy to shake it off.
Yeah, this reminds me of, I forgot who told this story, but he went to a Bob Knight practice at Indiana, and everything was so meticulous. Every manager had a towel and a ball, and you know, it was just, everything was down to the minute. And then he went to a Denny Crum practice at Louisville, and it was just the complete opposite. It was just like, throw the ball out, go play hard, go do it, get it done. And both were really good and successful coaches. Obviously, Bob Knight, probably the most popular, the more popular one there.
Yeah, and I think, that's another example of high standards. And I don't know the relationship building of, you said Benny Crum?
Denny Crum, yeah.
Denny Crum. I don't know the relationship building, but I would say Bobby Knight is the high standard system design coach, which obviously very, very successful. He was not the relationship coach. Well, he also had high energy. So no wonder he was so successful. He did.
I would say the energy might've flowed in the wrong direction at times.
Right.
But,
right.
And obviously we know Bob Knight had a military background. And did he? Yeah, right?
Yeah. Coach K. Yeah, yeah.
Well, as I said that, I'm like, wait a second, did he? But here's the difference. The military is, we're going to break you down and we're going to drill you into where you just succumb to, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Right. And there's not a whole lot of decisions that you get to make in that situation, but you really should want your teams to be like special forces that actually are elite at making decisions, making adjustments, executing teamwork, right? And I think you do that with the more the high energy style, the messy part of it, because that's what special forces are designed to do, is to resolve complexity and get into those messy situations and excel.
Yeah. So fact checking. So Bob Knight never served in the military, but he was an assistant coach at the U.S. Military Academy and the head coach at Army for a decade. And that's where he developed these military values.
Got it. Yeah, yes. He coached Coach K, which that was the connection there. Okay. Yeah. Practice planning versus communication. This one's pretty easy for me. I think we're going to have a really good final here. I'm going communication. I just think it's so valuable.
Yes.
You can do so much with clear and concise communication.
Yeah. And again, before we move out of the semis, this would be the core four. For you as a coach, if you're really where do I need to develop? ask yourself, identify, where am I strong here? Where am I weak? Where do I need to water the grass a little bit more? That's the outcome of this long conversation.
I would even say, like, we're putting this bracket together on the fly just for fun. I would say my core four would be relationships, high energy, communication, and high standards.
I agree. High standards played practice planning, high standards would win.
Yeah,
that's good. We probably need to write that down somewhere and put it into our development. Actually, a lot, this conversation and this core four actually belong in our TOC coach community, where TOC coach is around the art of coaching and how you have a strong culture, how you transform the culture of your program. It's such a robust and important conversation, and one that we have had in Savvy Basketball, but we believe will serve coaches of all sports. We developed an entire new community and classroom specifically around it. And if you haven't checked out toccoach.com, all of our annual Savvy members get TOC Coach for free. If you commit to a year with us, we're giving you everything we got. Go check it out. If you're monthly, or you're just listening to it, or you're not a basketball coach, and I would say this episode for all of our Savvy coaches listening, please send this to a non-basketball coach in your world. This is the one that will help them. I don't believe that we've used basketball examples. I don't think we've talked anything basketball specific that wouldn't serve another coach. That is the core four. We need to get that into the TOC community as well. That'll be a good one. Yes, I agree with those four.
We have relationships and high energy here.
Let me think. I don't know.
It should be tough. It should be tough. It
should be tough. And this is kind of where your identity as a coach develops a little bit more. When you've kept the main thing, you've got this core four and you're prioritizing it, what is more valuable, or what you prioritize, or what you naturally are gifted in, it's going to rise to the forefront and it's going to define you, both you and your program. And that's fine. You know, if Mark is stronger at relationships, I'm stronger at communication, that's going to just define it a little bit. We're not leaving these other ones by the wayside here. So I think a lot of this comes down to preference and your own giftings and talents.
I don't think because you just articulated, because you communicated that so well, I don't think it matters which one you choose. I wouldn't put.
Let's say this. Which of those two are you stronger in, Mark?
I would say high energy. If I walk into a gym,
yeah,
it's easy for me to have high energy. I think I have to be more intentional about the relationship piece.
That's the same for me. Yeah. In fact, I would say relationships historically have been my biggest weakness on teams that I've led, been a part of, businesses, and energy has been a strength. And I've grown in my relationship building and being intentional with it. I've definitely grown, but energy is what's natural, and relationships are where I have to be intentional.
Same. Okay. Right. Let's choose the winner. I'm going to ask you a question that may help us choose a winner. We have high energy and communication in the finals. Which one of these, communication or high energy, is easier for a coach to develop that may not naturally have the skill?
That is a challenging question, because I see an argument for both. Let me make it. I believe that high energy is a choice. You can choose to display it even if you don't feel it. Whereas communication is not an immediate choice. It's a skill that needs to be developed over time, and many choices along the way for that development. So you can develop, you can show high energy even if you don't feel it. You can show it immediately. Communication, you can't implement immediately. Yet, on the flip side of the argument, I believe that high energy, feeling it, is usually something that an individual has or they don't. Whereas communication is something that you can actually develop and add and make natural to your skill set over time. So that's a that is an argument for both sides. If I was an AD hiring a coach, I can tell you one thing. I would you can see this right away. Do they naturally have high energy or not, or do they have to fake it to make it? If they naturally have high energy, I'm going to hire them. And then I would work with them to develop the communication.
Yeah. Sorry, what did you say?
Just as opposed to the opposite, like they're a good commuter, but they don't have natural high energy. I would devalue that person over the other theoretical person that has the high
energy. I like that. I would not push back on anything that you said. The only thing I would say is I was going to say you can fake or be, you can choose high energy faster than you can choose to be a good communicator.
Agreed.
Communication is the long game. Like you've got to be really, you got to be intentional about both. There's a quote, I may be butchering it, but consistency is hard. We must choose it every day. And I think you can choose high energy. Now, what's probably going to happen, it's more going to be like a motivation thing where you like come out of the gates and in your practice or the game, you got really high energy. And then you usually just resort back to the mean or your disposition. Yeah. Yeah. But man, communication, gosh, it's such a valuable skill.
Yeah.
Harder to, I'll do this. Okay. I'll say since it is, you can't fake it. And it is the long game more difficult. I'll say that would be my choice for a champion.
Cool. In the comments, which would you pick out of those two as the champion? Who wins? Mark and I came down on different sides of the coin there. Who wins for you? I would love to see it. Man, this was probably the longest episode we've done in a while. We don't know yet if this is a two-parter. We might have a cliffhanger. We might have a week break after it'd probably be after the first round would probably be the break. We'd have to go back and look. But thanks for hanging with us. Like Mark said, if you want to hang with us more, go more in depth, learn how to prioritize these things, learn how to develop these things, head to savvycoach.com. We have a 7-day free trial, no obligation, just get 7 days of value. We would love to do that. If that's the only impact we have on your coaching journey is 7 days of free value, I'm glad that we've been able to have that impact. So I welcome that. If it's just not in your budget or not in your school's budget. If it is, hope you stick around for a while and we can journey with you. So thanks for hanging out. I'm Tyler, this is Mark. We are Savvy Coaching. Stay savvy.
Stay savvy.